Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, there's no danger of me having a big head, pride, or anything around this bunch. Amen. I guarantee you that's right. In fact, I'm probably struggling with being too humble. If there is such a thing. Amen. But anyway, praise the Lord. It's good to be back at Welcome. I tell you, I appreciate the many years the Lord has allowed me to be associated with this church. And early on, even back years ago when Brother Cole was still here in the old church, he kindly took me under his wing and just let me try to preach, you know. I mean, give me opportunity after opportunity. I don't know if he liked hearing me, or if he thought maybe if he preaches enough or I give him enough practice, maybe he might get something hit out of the infield, maybe. I don't know, but he took me under his wing and he preached for me at Enoch Baptist Church back in the day, and was a blessing. And this church has been, if I could have a second home church, I'd say this is probably would be it. The church I pastor being the first one. And I thought that better be right. Amen. Can I get a witness over here? Say amen. All right. But it's a special place for us, and this meeting has got a special place in my heart because of the help I received over the years that God has helped me here. And I tell you, I don't want to forget those days. I don't want to forget that God is able. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Poindexter, the message he preached, I heard him preach it before, but I didn't need it any more than I needed it today. And I thank the Lord for it. I thought about Revelations. I'm not preaching in there, but I thought about the fact that John only mentioned Patmos one time. That's how you know that book was inspired, because if I would have wrote it, it would have been in every chapter. I would have probably singled out about five verses at the end for the New Jerusalem. The rest of it would have been all about my Patmos. The details of the Patmos that I was on. And who it was that put me there and all that. Amen. But I've got a few scars, Lord help us. Yeah, you're not going to serve the Lord without it, I promise you. Matthew chapter 6 this evening, or morning, whatever it is. It's morning now. It may be evening when I get done. No, I'm just kidding. Don't believe a word of that. I hope. Y'all heard my sister say, yeah. And I didn't hear what Brother Ralph said. He didn't say it, but he was thinking it. I about guarantee it. But I want to deal with a subject this morning that I'm certainly not qualified to deal with. I don't feel like I am. But I've got a Bible that's qualified to tell us what all about it. I want to deal with the subject of prayer this morning. I want to know about it. I want to move up in that category. I think that our churches are filled with discouragement. Not because we're in discouraging times. I think it's a prayer. It traces back to the prayer closet. Someone said, I don't remember, I don't know the originator of it, but someone said that every failure is really a prayer failure. Can be traced back to a prayer failure. That's a big statement. That covers a wide range. And the further I go and the more I preach on prayer and such, the more I'm convinced that is so. The easiest thing for you to let slip in your life is the most important thing to keep you steady and stable and spiritual. You can't be spiritual without praying. There's no way. Amen. And so, you know, a lot of people are struggling with discouragement, and I've had my share of that. I've been through that myself. But I've learned that going in meeting with God about it is the fix. And one I could tell you several, but one that stands out to me was back several years ago. I was really contemplating of resigning the church where I've been for almost 33 years. Next month will be 33 years. And I mean just discouraged, disheartened. And quitting is always connected to the flesh. Quitting is never connected to the Spirit of God. Quitting doesn't come through the new man. It comes through the old man. And so I went outside and just in the backyard, and it was dark late at night, and I was praying. And I said, Lord, I'm afraid of what decision I may make. And I was just praying and all of that. And out of the blue, God spoke to me. And I don't believe for a second that had I not made the direction toward prayer, that God would not have spoke to me. I believe He spoke to me because I was out there with my heart wanting to speak to Him. And He said, He gave me just one little sentence that literally salvaged my ministry. I believe it. He said this to my heart, discouragement is not leadership. And soon as He said that to my soul, I'm telling you, the discouragement was gone. I saw through what was happening. I saw what was behind it, who was behind it. Amen. Amen. God said, discouragement is not leadership. I don't have to get you down. I don't have to get you defeated to lead you. Right. Right. Amen. Amen. But there again, I mentioned that not only because of that, the bigness of that event, salvaging my ministry, especially being in God's will, because I was contemplating moving on somewhere at that point. But when God said, I'm not leading you, you're listening to the voice of discouragement. I'm not leading you. I'm not speaking to you. The voice of discouragement is not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. Discouragement is not the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. You're listening to the wrong voice. You're focusing on the wrong sources when you get discouraged. And I've challenged people before about, take from the day that Apostle Paul got saved all the way through till he got his head cut off. Brother Ralph might remember this. We were having a preacher's breakfast down there at, I guess that's Shawnee's or Denny's or whatever it is, out from your church there. And I was given the devotion in that morning, and I challenged or asked the preachers about, can you show me anywhere where Paul was ever discouraged? And I can't find it. Brother Rao mentioned, I think, I don't know if he remembers, but I remember it. He said, what about when Paul said that he was, pressed even of despair, even of life itself or something? And I said, well, I don't know that he's discouraged, because we find him facing death again. And he said, I have a desire to depart. It's hard to discourage a dead man. And Paul said, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. But anyway, I don't know why I said all that, but I think really discouragement is not the problem. I think it's the fruit of a fellowship problem with the Lord. I really do. And I've learned that, I think, from my own life. And so I believe if a lot of people would quit flipping the scab off and talking about who it is and all the details of their situation, and go meet with God about it, that they will find the help that they need. God can speak a word. God can speak a word. God can meet with you, and just His presence alone can be the answer to get you over the hump and get you refocused and get you refired, amen, and ready to go serve the Lord. Amen. I believe that, in fact, Jesus taught and said this. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. Very clearly implying that if you're fainting, you're not praying. You can pray in fainting times, but you will probably not be fainting in praying times. If you're praying, you're not going to be fainting. But what about the political? It don't matter about the political. But what about the economic situation? It don't matter about that. According to what Jesus said in Luke 18, fainting comes from prayerlessness. Amen. And I believe that, I really think, my heart, that that's probably the one chief thing the devil would like to work in every one of our lives is prayerlessness. Because he knows that everything else will soon crumble if that is the case. So Matthew chapter number 6, I know, very familiar text. I don't believe today for a second that our problem today is conditions. Around us, I believe our problem is condition within us. Amen. You can serve God no matter what's going on around you or even to you. But when you start collapsing inwardly, when you get slack inwardly, and you let prayer go inwardly, and your fellowship with God, amen, goes inwardly, then you're in greater trouble than you think. It's not politicians, it's prayerlessness is the problem. Our churches are not dying because of Democrats or Republicans or who is or who might be president. No, our churches is dying because their pews are filled, and sadly maybe even the pulpit is filled with people that don't pray much anymore. I believe that. Because the power of God is missing in most churches. The manifested presence of God is missing in most churches. And instead of going back and finding out what the problem is and fixing it and getting right with God and get serious again, they just replace the presence of God with just this mechanical entertainment. And most people prefer that because you don't have to have a prayer life to enjoy that. You don't have to be holy to enjoy that. You don't have to walk with God, amen, read your Bible to enjoy that, because that's flesh stuff. Anyway, I believe the heart of the problem is a heart problem. And so let's look here in chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. And we'll start in verse 5 and read down through these verses. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And what a pathetic reward that is. Doing something that should be spiritual and divine and Godward, but they're directing it toward man's attention, man's approval. God help us. Amen. And so it said that they had the reward. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse number 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And then he goes into the model prayer in verse number 9. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He's coming down through those other previous verses of don't pray like this. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't pray like the heathens. Don't use them as a pattern. Nothing good comes from the way they do it. But he said, here's the way you're supposed to do it. He said, after this manner, pray ye. Do it like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to look at this text maybe a little differently this morning. Something that's just stuck out to me reading this in days past. In verse number 5, something that Jesus said, and I read it verse just a minute ago, but I read it like we normally read it, and I just read over it and through it, and you probably never even caught it. But I was reading this, and let me just read verse number 5, start. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. For they love to pray. The hypocrites and the heathens in this text, Jesus said, we know the reason, it's not for the right reason. That's not my point this morning is, but they love to pray. And the Holy Spirit put a question in my heart, do you love to pray? Here's heathens that love to pray. And sadly, but it's true, that a lot of false religions prays more than Christians do. I think that praying is emphasized to be probably one of the most important things that you and I'll ever do as a Christian, and we do it the least. It doesn't have the prominence and the preeminence in our life that I believe the Bible would project that it ought to have. And so I just want to preach on loving to pray. Do you love to pray? I believe I could say it in this text. The reason the heathens were loving to pray was they loved the results they were getting. They were loving the outcome of the praying. But the point is, if they had not loved to pray, then even they wouldn't have been praying. I would hate to know that the heathens and the hypocrites in this context of prayer is praying more than we do. That they love to pray, but do you love to pray? Now, I know that seems to be a question that ought to have a resounding yes. Everybody in our churches ought to be able to say yes. But I wonder, does our practice say yes? Right. Amen. Amen. I mean, I travel quite a bit, and I'm not the only one in here that does, but I'm telling you, churches are dying and drying up. Their doctrine is right, but they're dead as 4 o'clock. I believe that has to be a prayer problem. Amen. Loving to pray or having a passion to pray. I believe it is hard to have a lively church with a dead closet. I believe every failure is a prayer failure or is some way related to not praying or praying wrong even. I find myself doing that sometimes. Going to God and say, I want this. Lord, do this, do this. And if you're not careful and you don't trust Him, and he don't do what you say, what you ask him to do, if you're not careful, then the devil will use that to accuse God to you. The devil's accuser of the brethren, and he's not a false accuser of the brethren. When he goes to God over you and me, he's telling them, he's telling the Father things he knows. Not a false accuser. But I believe also, Brother Poindexter, that the devil will accuse God to you. He'll tell you he don't care. He's not hearing you when you pray. He don't care what's going on in your life. And I know you say we don't believe none of that. You get down enough, you probably believe most anything that you hear. Amen. That's right. Someone said it this way: the disciples that could not pray 1 hour had no problem fishing all night and catching nothing. Brother Ivan in our church, tremendous Christian, got saved in a deer stand, got saved as an old dope head drunk, and probably one of the most joyful Christians I know. Testifies literally every service and sometimes 2 or 3 times a service. And it's not some memorized something or another. It's tears and brokenness and joy and spiritual things. And he opened up Sunday school. I think that was last Sunday, our opening assembly. We just different men and young men in the church to just take time about doing that, give everybody an opportunity. So last Sunday was Brother Ivan's, and Brother Ivan made this statement, and he said this. He said, because last week we had a prayer week where everybody prayed a certain amount of time through the course of a week. And Brother Ivan said, and it wasn't nothing hard, you know, 30 minutes. Everybody commit to pray in 30 minutes, you know, this week. It ought to be being done anyway, but you'd be surprised how many people that don't. And Brother Ivan made this statement. He's top notch now. He's really got a heart for the Lord. And he said this. He said, I've been struggling this week with my prayer time. But he said, I needed to do some research on something he was trying to find or something he was going to buy or whatever. And he said he got to noticing, and just like that, he was on his phone for an hour. And he said the Lord smote his heart and said, you struggle to pray 30 minutes. But yet you were on your phone doing research on whatever it is he was doing and going to buy or whatever, and that's where we're at. That's where we're at. We struggle with the spiritual when the flesh is influencing our life, but then we can the flesh part just opens up if we're not careful. Loving to pray. Prayer's the context here, and Jesus is the teacher. We can learn something from the hypocrites about the affection, the power of affection in supplication, the power of affection in intercession. If you don't have love in your loving to pray, then your praying might be mechanical. Your praying might be meaningless. Your praying might be burdenless. Your praying may be without effects even. If it doesn't have that love to pray, that desire to pray, that want to pray. Amen. Jesus pointed that out about the heathens and the hypocrites, that they love to pray. And the Spirit of God asked me, do you love to pray? Do you love to pray? Jesus wasn't speaking negatively in this text about their posture of prayer, of standing. He wasn't speaking negatively about their public praying on the street corner. He wasn't speaking negatively about the places of prayer or even the phrases and repetitions of their praying. He wasn't speaking about how long they prayed. He wasn't speaking negatively about how long they prayed. But he was condemning their purpose in praying. They were loving to pray, but their purpose for praying was all on a horizontal level. They wanted man to see and man to hear. And they felt content over man noticing. Amen. Nothing vertical. There was nothing of their praying that was vertical. And I wonder how much of ours is horizontal instead of vertical. Not one word is said in this text about their petitions. Not one thing is given to detail about what they actually were praying. What they were actually saying. And I believe one of the reasons that is not given here is because God never heard them. Amen. This text is very clear that Jesus knows who prayed, where they prayed. They prayed in two places. Synagogues, that's their church. Street corners, that's their public life. He noticed who was praying, where they were praying, but he also knew why they were praying. And he knew, even though nothing was said about what they were praying. Do you believe that applies to us? He knows who's praying. He knows who's praying. He knows where you pray. He knows why you pray. But of course, he also knows what you pray. If you love to pray for all the they love to pray for all the wrong reasons. Not one good reason, Brother Smith, as to why they were praying. They were praying for all the wrong reasons. We should love to pray for all the right reasons. To love to pray is to love the one you're praying to. To love to pray is to love the ones that you're praying for. To love to pray is to love the places that you pray. Closet, church. Everywhere. We're told to pray everywhere. Right. Amen. What do you love about prayer? Don't answer that out loud. I'm just asking, could you write down two or three or four or five things? What is it that you love about prayer? And there's some in this text, and we're going to point them out in just a moment. Amen. Listen to this. You can know to pray without loving to pray. You can read about prayer without loving to pray. You can quote verses about prayer without loving to pray. You can attend prayer conferences without loving to pray. You can preach and teach about prayer without loving to pray. You can even pray without loving to pray. You can go to church, the house of prayer, without loving to pray. We ought to ask ourselves, do we love to pray? I believe if we love to pray, let me just use this analogy. Do you love to eat? I promise you I do. I ate like a two-headed monkey over there yesterday at the meal. Man, that was good. I'm telling you. Them plates was way too small. Ain't that right, Brother Buster? So I just thought, well, I don't have any more room, so I just started going to the second story on it. And I ate every bit of it. I was starving. All that good preaching was here, and I was starving. Amen. Loving to pray. What is it about prayer that you love? God lets it make it very clear in this text that he already has the expectation of us praying, because the times he addressed us, he said, when thou prayest. Not if you pray. God expects his people to pray. Paul is an example of to all of them which should hereafter believe. And what was the first thing he did when he got saved? He prayed. When Ananias was sent over, I said, behold, he prayeth. He didn't sit in no classes. He didn't sit in, no, amen, but he knew to pray. Amen. And that's the way he identified. You'll find him. You'll know where he's at because he's on a street called Straight and he's praying. He's already got straight and he's praying. Amen. That's right. So the expectation goes without saying. God expects us to pray. Now listen, if he expects it and we don't do it, I think that's sin. Prayerlessness ought to be viewed as sin. That's exactly right. And so the affection of prayer, he not only dealt with the expectation of prayer, he deals with the affection of prayer. They love to pray. Everything about their prayer was wrong, but still they love to pray. And he was using, we can use that to shame us in not loving to pray. For the right reasons. That's right. Do you love to pray? That word love there is the philio, and it means to be a friend to. Are you a friend to the closet? You ought to be friendly toward the closet of prayer, because that's where you meet your friend. That's where you meet your father. Amen. It means to have affection for, to denote a personal attachment to. Are we attached? I say that to all of us. Are we attached personally and affectionately to prayer, regardless if it's in the closet or driving down the road or at church, wherever, amen. Are we attached to that? Amen. Listen at this. They were loving to pray with no realness of God. The hypocrites, the heathens. They were loving to pray and they never experienced the reality of God's presence. Not once. They loved to pray and they had no righteousness. They were called heathens. They loved to pray even though they had no relationship with the Father like we do. They loved to pray even though they never got a response from God. They loved to pray in spite of the fact that they were out there on the street corner praying. They were not worried about embarrassment. Their love to pray was stronger than their embarrassment to pray. Lord help us. They loved to pray for all the wrong reasons, and they loved to pray, and that produced a regularity to their praying. It indicates that they were on that street corner often and that they prayed, amen, constant and consistently. They were predictable. Amen. They loved to pray. Their praying was driven by what they loved about praying. My, Lord help us. Evidently, they were taught to pray. They practiced praying. And they ran around with other heathens and hypocrites, because that was with an S on it, plural. So if you love to pray, more likely you're going to hang around others that like love praying. You'll want to go to a church that loves praying. The Wednesday night prayer meeting is what it was originally started as and was called, a prayer meeting. And my understanding of that was that's all they did. They come on Wednesday night and they prayed. Amen. They devoted that whole time period to prayer. Now it's nothing more than a midweek Sunday service. It's just another service. Amen. We may have an altar of prayer, but I don't know. I don't know how many would come if they knew, all right, we're going to have a whole month, and I've thought about doing it. I'm still probably going to do it. We're going to have a whole month on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, we're going to meet and we're going to pray. We're going to gather in the auditorium and we're going to pray. Amen. I know I've got people that won't come, wouldn't come. I guarantee it. You know why? Because if you don't pray at your house, you're not interested in praying at the house of God. It's exactly right. We do the sign-up sheet for the prayer when we do a prayer week, and we do two different. We'll do one where every 30 minutes, 24 hours a day, night and day, we're praying. Somebody's praying in a 30-minute prayer slot, night and day, for a whole week. That eliminates convenience, especially those that have to get up 2 or 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. And I have people that won't sign it, and I guarantee you one or two reasons. One, they probably couldn't pray 30 minutes if their life depended on it. because they're so used to blanket praying and general praying, Lord, save all the sinners, heal all the sick, and send us all the biscuits and all, you know, just general stuff, amen, that you could pray for the entire world in 30 seconds. But I never find nowhere in the Word of God where general praying gets specific answers. General praying gets general answers. And therefore, nobody knows if God answered your prayer because you didn't pray for nothing specifically. Amen. Amen. If you want to know if you're praying and can get a prayer through, start putting names on your prayers. Put specifics on it. Amen. And see if there's an answer that comes. Amen. That's right. Lord, help us. But they love to pray, but do we? Now, I know this. I even got ouch on my outline. If we don't pray or love to pray, are we not worse than the hypocrite? Out. If they love to pray for all the wrong reasons, with no results, never get an answer other than a pat on the back and maybe move up a notch or two in their ratings, shame on us. That's all I know to say. Shame on us, knowing that we have a relationship with the Father that answers prayer. It's hard to live what you don't love. And praying ought to be a prayer life. Your life ought to be a amen to your praying. And your praying ought to be an amen to how you're living. Amen. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Regarding iniquity in my heart is an indication of how you're living. Amen. That's right. You can't pray right. You can't live wrong and pray right. You just can't do it. Amen. If you love to pray, guess what? You will pray. You'll find time to pray. That's exactly right. Amen. But let me skip down, and I want to just deal with some things right through these verses real quick. Because I think we're going to eat again. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. So I want us to learn what we are to love about prayer. They couldn't. Those heathens and hypocrites couldn't. They loved praying, but it didn't have anything to do with what you and I ought to love prayer about. Number one, the first is we ought to love the prohibitions of God in prayer. So what are you talking about? He starts out in verse 5 and said, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Amen. We ought to love that. We ought to love the fact that God does not want us to be fake and phony and a put on when we come into the prayer time. Amen. We ought to love that. Amen. God help us. Verse 5, "Thou shalt not pray as the hypocrites are." Verse 7, Use not vain repetition as the heathens do. Verse 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them." God is saying in the context of prayer that my people ought to also love prayer, but we ought to love first the prohibition of prayer, that God hates hypocrisy. Amen. The word "not" there used in this text expresses an absolute denial. No, not, nay, neither, never. I think that's pretty clear, isn't it? And I think that is dealt with first. Before he ever gets into the other aspects that you and I can love about praying, we ought to love the prohibition, which would mandate that we live right, that we make sure that we're not hypocrites and that we're not heathens even. Amen. God wants us to be real. You can fool me, don't take much. We can fool each other, don't take much. But I promise you it'd be worth us being reminded of this morning that God cannot be fooled. Just like Brother Poindexter was talking about, when you pray, God will bring those things up in your heart, this, that, and the other. My Uncle Joe, this came back to my mind. He was a pastor a lot of years in Greenwood, South Carolina, and he's way on up in years now. And he told this years ago that he borrowed a wrench to work on a bicycle, I think, back in that long ago. And he never did give that wrench back. Not intentionally, he was planning on it, just never did. And he said it got to the place that every time he'd get down to pray, that's all he could see was that wrench laying there. And it wasn't laying there, but it was that clear to him. And God just kept working on him and dealing with him about it. Amen. Why? A wrench? Is that bother God? That hinder anything? That's holy. Prayer room, prayer time is a holy. Start out the prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the first thing that we ought to love, and we can say more about it, is we ought to love the prohibition of prayer that God places here in these verses. Number two, we ought to love the presence of God in prayer. Verse number six, look at it. Verse number six, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Have you ever met with God in prayer? Not just address Him. I'm not talking about just addressing Him and praying to Him and talking to Him. I mean, if you experience the presence of God in prayer. When I got saved, I was 20 years old and was living a wicked life. And I'm not going to go into my testimony, but thank God I had a mama that was aggressive with her faith and with her praying, and she wasn't about to have it that her son, me, was going to hell. If mama would have left me alone, I wouldn't be here today. I'd probably be in hell already because I was on the broad road running fast, wide open. But mama said, I ain't having it. And she even told me, she said, when she called me at work, she said, son, I didn't bring you through my womb for you to die and go to hell. Said, I done found out where you were staying because I'd ran away from home over going to church. That was mandated at my house with consequences. Didn't matter if you're 16, 18, or 29. It didn't make no difference. Daddy had a belt that had enough notches in it for any age group. And mama didn't worry about my feelings. She was concerned about my future, and she went and found out where I was staying without getting my permission. And just called me at work and notified me of all the transaction and said, when you get off work, son, you come on home. He said, what'd you do? Well, I couldn't go back to where I was staying. I had nothing. I didn't have no clothes. I didn't have nothing. Mama doesn't come and got it. I think we'd probably have revival if mom and daddy quit asking youngins, can I? Will it be okay? Can I come in your room? Can I knock? Do I need to knock? Daddy never knocked. He might knock it down if it. That's amen. Amen. Quit trying to be their pal and start being a parent. Amen. That's another story. But thank God, though, I'm here because mama loved to pray. She was a praying woman. Daddy was a praying man. Grandma Chapman, my grandma, one of them old-time prayer warriors, shouter, amen, worshiper, live for God 24/7, amen. That's right. And a lot of kids today don't have no grandmas like that. And a lot of those praying grandmas and grandpas and them older aunts and uncles, amen, a lot of them's done dying off the scene, and we got a crop coming on now that does not seemingly love to pray. Right. They never have an encounter with God. They never have. You know why a lot of people don't testify? They don't have nothing to say. And sometimes whatever they do say is the same identical thing they've said the last 40 times that they've testified. What's wrong with getting up and saying, hey, I want to share what God gave me in my devotions this week, and I want to share what God did in my prayer time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's personal and he's present. Amen. Omnipresent. And you ought to be experiencing God, amen, on a daily basis. Amen. You shouldn't have to go back 30 years ago to talk about an answer of prayer. You shouldn't have to go even back to the day you got saved, as great as that was, and talk about being saved. No, I'm talking about it, how great it is to be saved right now. When mama came and got me and brought me home, I didn't know they had revival planned. But she did. And she had, I no doubt, a heavenly confidence that if I can get my son home and he gets back under the mandate of you live here and eat this food and sleep in our bed, wear our clothes, you go in the house of God.
That's right. Amen.
You say, what'd you do? I went.
Yeah.
Went the first night. Guess what? God... Amen. I was there. I can't remember all the details of what God did that night. But the second night was January 20th, 1981. Amen. The man of God mounted the pulpit preaching on the memorials of Exodus. And the second one on the second night was chapter 12, the memorial of the Passover. And son, he come through there preaching, and he got on that subject of that death angel coming through, and the only safe place is off of the streets of Egypt and behind the blood of a sacrifice. And he brought all the applications to that. I never heard nothing else he said. God wrung me out right then.
Amen.
You're not mine. He told me, you're not mine. Your name's on a dusty church roll, but you're not mine. And I wasn't living like I was his either.
Amen.
I'm about sick of that. Amen. People live like stinking heathens for 50 years and still claim to be saved. I don't believe none of that.
Amen.
My daddy wouldn't let me get by with wrongdoing sometimes 30 seconds. And then our Heavenly Father's going to let you slide for 40 years? Now you, amen. I was saying in Tennessee, I use a lot. You may tell that to Bozo the Clown, and he'll believe it, but I don't believe none of it.
Amen.
There's one time I was standing in the middle. That was Kelly's room back in the day, and Mom and Daddy was in that room, and I was in that room, in the middle bedroom. And Mama said something, and I sassed her. I'm talking about before I even got my next breath, Daddy done knocked me plumb in the floor. He come around with a backhand, pow! You say, I can't believe that. Well, guess what I went out of the business of doing? Sassing. It must have worked. Daddy didn't believe in timeout. He believed in passing out. Amen. He believed knockout. He believed in that knockout. He believed that verse literally in Proverbs. About beating a child or beating his, save his soul. He said, I'm going to beat him till he gets saved. Amen. That's right. Well, it worked, praise God. I got saved. But what I wanted to tell you was, God introduced me to praying right off the bat.
Amen.
That meeting went, listen, we need revival, don't we?
Yes, sir.
That meeting went 7 weeks.
Yes, sir.
And it was, God did more through praying than he did through preaching. Amen. And so every night, we'd have prayer room. A lot of times we wouldn't get out of the service for 10:30, sometimes 11 o'clock. And even then, we would go pray. We'd go down to the fellowship hall or up on the hill behind the church and pray for a few minutes together, and then we'd go home. And then we'd rush to church, get to church real quick, as quickly as we could get there, and the Sunday school rooms would be full of people already there praying. And I crawled into one of those Sunday school rooms, and I remember getting under one of them Sunday school tables and was praying, and there was others praying in there. Whoo, glory. And it wasn't long till I didn't know if there's anybody else in the whole building or in the world. God got under that table with me. I didn't know when the service started upstairs. I didn't know, amen, all I knew was I was afraid to move and I didn't want to leave. God was under the table, hemmed me up under a Sunday school table, amen, and I hadn't been saved but just a day or two, and I've never got over that. I'm telling you what we ought to love about prayer. It's not some mechanical thing, amen. We're not just going in and reciting some prayers, reading some prayers. No, we're going into a prayer place. It could be riding down the road. It could be in a closet. It could be a church. It could be at your bedside. Amen. God will meet with you, and there you get to enjoy fellowship with God. Amen. Do you love that? Now, if you're a heathen, you won't love that, because it won't happen. If you're living a life that's, you're fake, it won't happen. Lord, have mercy. Oh, I'd like to tell you some more of that. Man, I felt something right there now. He said, pray to thy Father. Do you have a relationship? Do you really have a relationship with God? Is He your Father? You're His child because you were born again? If praying was the fruit of a person truly being born again, how many would be eliminated with that? A baby can be born, not even in this world, 30 seconds, and they're already crying, amen. No verbal words, but I guarantee you, if you interpreted that scream and that squeal, it is, Mama! They come into this world with a natural physical birth, knowing that I'm here and I can communicate with my father and my parents. I can communicate. How much more should a person that's been born again and born from above, amen, can have a connection with God? If you've been saved 5 minutes, you don't have to call somebody else, say, hey, would you pray for me or pray for so and so? You've got access. Well, there's something about that. Thank God I've got people, amen, even with me. We got young people that are prayer warriors. That brother Ivan, Miss Hannah, stand up. Where you at? Miss Hannah. She ain't big as a tick. All right, you can be seated. Brother Ivan, when we was doing them 30-minute round-the-clock praying, Miss Hannah, and I don't try to embarrass her, but she had already got, and she has to work. She has to get up in the morning and go work. She had 3 of them 30-minute slots filled, back-to-back. Brother Ivan come through there and said, preacher, he drug his feet on signing. You'd think there'd not be a bunch of empty slots, wouldn't you? But they get filled pretty quick. That's a good sign. Brother Ivan said, preacher, I wanted one of them slots in the middle of the night, like 3:30 or 4, whatever it was. But Hannah's got 3 of them marked off. I said, Brother Ivan, I'll go ask her if she'd be willing to give you one. And I went to her and I said, Miss Hannah, did you make a mistake? She said, what do you mean, preacher? I said, your name's in 3 slots there in the middle of the night and you got to work. She said, no, preacher, I put them down on purpose because I felt like that's what God wanted me to do. And then I told him about whiny Ivan, Brother Ivan. And she said, well, he can have one, you know. Hey, I will say this. I've said it before, and I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again and many times hereafter. If you're old enough to be saved, you are old enough to start a spiritual walk with God. You're old enough to be saved. You're old enough to know to call upon the Lord. You're old enough to continue calling on the Lord in prayer. I don't believe a word of this, get saved and play around and not get serious. Amen. Till you're 30 years old or later. No. If God saved you at 7 years old, He means you to be a seven-year-old that's wanting to serve God. Well, to love the presence of God. Number three, love the perception of God in prayer. Verse number six, thy Father which seeth in secret. Thank God for the perception of God. We're not serving a totem pole. We're not serving a blind and a deaf and a dumb God. Amen. Amen. We listen, the Old Testament talked about those that made idols. They made idols that was like unto them. They had eyes that couldn't see. They had ears that couldn't hear. They had hands that couldn't work. They had feet and all that. But guess what? That's not true with us. No, that's not true with us. We're not serving an idol. We're not serving a figment of our imagination. Amen. So thank God for that perception. Love who's looking and listening to you. Now, if you go in the prayer closet and there's hypocrisy and sin and unconfessed sin and all that, now you don't want God to be looking at you. And therefore, many times you'll dodge the prayer closet. He seeth in secret. Nobody else may know what's going on inside of you, and He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But aren't you glad you can go in there and say, God, I need help. He don't need a description. He don't need an x-ray. He don't need details. He knows you. Amen. He knows how you're feeling. He knows why and what's going on in your life. And He sees. Just simply that definition in the Strong's means to behold, to look at, to be aware of, to perceive, to regard. You said, preacher, why should we love to pray? Because you're going to the one that looks upon you and sees every need that you have. In fact, even in the text, in verse 8, it talks about that He knows, our Father knows what you have need of before you even ask Him. When you start asking Him, it's almost like He's doing this number. Like, yeah, I already know. But you asking is what activates my response. Amen. Oh, the hypocrites wanted to be seen by the eye of man. But God's youngins, amen. God's children. We crawl in a prayer time, whether no matter where it is, and I've had God to meet with me driving down the road, amen. Amen, that's right. I wouldn't even dare start telling you about the night we ended up in the graveyard for Bible college. I couldn't even see the road. I was driving, trying to drive. I couldn't even see the road. It was so foggy inside the car. Amen. And I wasn't in there alone either. Brother Roger Todd praying over there in the floorboard, been praying already close to 2 hours. Time we got to the graveyard, it was probably 2 hours time we left from the tabernacle. And he'd been praying the whole time. Didn't even know who was around, didn't know what was going on. He didn't know about all them cops that came. He didn't know none of that. Randy Bryson was in the car with me, Brother Massingale. Brother Randy Bryson, Charles Nicholson, and Brian Galloway was in the back seat cutting cartwheels because God was in that car. Pulled over on the side of the road, hopefully to get out of away from everybody. Didn't know it, but I pulled into the entrance lane of an aerial mill at shift change. And that cop come over there, blue lights, and flashing his lights, and they was still doing their thing. And I rolled the window down, and he said, what's going on? And I said, sir, have you ever had God to get in a car with you? He stepped back. His Adam's apple went up and down about 3 times and eyes about that big. He said, no, I can't say I have. I said, we ain't hurting nothing. I said, God just got in the car with us and amen. And it just got dangerous to drive. And I just pulled over. He said, well, you're going to have to pull somewhere else. Said, you're in this entrance lane and you've got traffic backed up over a mile trying to get into the work. And we left there and ended up going to the graveyard. And that brother, was an experience, I'm telling you. So what do we love about prayer? We love that perception of prayer. We love, next, we love the promise of God in prayer. Verse 6, shall reward thee openly. Notice that. He sees in secret, but he rewards openly. If nothing is happening from God's hand openly or publicly, it is because nothing is happening with God privately. That explains altars that are not being used. That explains sinners not being saved. That explains that there's no worship. Hardly ever you go in a church and there's worship. Amen. Oh, why? Because there's nothing going on divine with God in private. And when we come to the house of God, which ought to be the rewarding time, it ought to be the time that God starts writing the checks, if you will. Hey, you met with me this week. Now it's time for me to meet with you. Amen. We love the promise.
Amen.
Reward. And that word reward, one of the definitions, means to pay for your service. To pay wages. Amen. You said, preacher, I don't pray to get. Really? What do you think when Jesus said ask? In the very next chapter, he said ask. Why do you ask? Because there's something I need to receive. Why do you seek? Because there's something I need to find. Why are you knocking in prayer? Because there's something I need, there's some doors I need open unto me. Amen. I believe if God's people would get serious about personal and private prayer during the week, there would be so much God in the services on Sunday. Amen. Conviction and amen. The power of God would be so strong. He said, what I see in secret is what gives me direction of what I do openly. We're not giving him a reason. We need to give him a private reason, a prayer reason to meet with us on Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. And not just that, he'll reward you openly. He's liable to get in your business in Walmart. I had that to happen. You said, preacher, surely you did. No, I didn't act up or nothing. I mean, it's hard to find a place to pray in Walmart. Boy, I still remember it. I'd just stick my head kindly back in a corner of some of them shelves, you know, like I was looking for something. And I said, Lord, I love you. Boy, just sit right there standing there. Nobody knew what I was doing or nothing. But there was a communion going on with God. Hallelujah. God wants you to be God wants your private life and personal life to be a part of His.
Yes.
And then He wants to be a part of your public life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's right. Well, I'm done right now. The promise of prayer. And you can look on down through here, the pattern of prayer, all that's wrote down through those verses. I don't have time to deal with that. But just let me ask you this in closing. Do you love to pray? And you know if you do or not. And let me help you. Let me help you on that. If you're not praying, you don't love to do it. In fact, the truth about love and hate through the scripture is whatever you love, you hate the opposite. So if you, oh mercy. So if you love to pray, then you're going to hate prayerlessness. When you go days and you don't pray, you're to hate every minute of that. You're to detest it. Not excuse it. You're to hate it. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you'll use the message. Dear Father, stir my heart. Lord, stir the heart of your people. Stir the heart of your preachers, Lord. There may be some, Lord, in this building. When I ask the question, do we love to pray? If they would have been honest, they would probably have to say that I've lost some ground in that area. But Lord, I believe if we could just get a refreshing and a renewing and a reviving in the area of prayer, I believe it would help us. No doubt it would help our churches. Our churches are not dying because of the darkness that's outside the walls of the church. I believe our churches are dying and drying up because there's prayerlessness flooding the lives of people that attend. Burdens, discouragement has got people to where they've lost confidence even in prayer. And Lord, of all people, the men of God are to be given themselves unto prayer and to the ministry of the word. If there's anybody ought to be meeting with God, it ought to be the preacher. God, help us, Lord. Lord, help us today to not, Lord, let the hypocrites, it be said of them that they love to pray when it could not be said of us that we love to pray. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name.